El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Very grateful to have you with us. We appreciate it, and we do have our stream back online. So Phil TV is back and in business, and quite frankly, it should have happened sooner had we just one more extra pair of hands here in the studio, but we didn't. So we had to wait for our top-of-the-hour newscast to get to clear the place out, to get the place fumigated, to get everybody out of here, and to just settle in and hunker down and test our theories. In other words, we just needed to have some time to restart the stream. So having said that, Bud, have you taken care of business?
Just got done. Flushed the toilet, and there's all kind of toilet paper there, too.
Good. And there's no paper towels.
No.
I if you don't mind, Phil.
Go ahead. Why do you, Margaret, why do you go with the top, you know, right when we're starting a segment?
Because he was in there. Good Lord, do I got to spell it out?
Sorry. All right. The Trayvon Martin case, is that starting soon? Because there's a big headline here on five things to know in the Trayvon Martin case. Well, guess what? I don't want to know any of them. You know?
Why not, man? It's a big story.
That may be a big story for a lot of people. I'm not dealing with it. I ain't talking about it. I ain't going there. And that's just all there is to that, man. In keeping with us turning over the new leaf, we ain't talking about anything controversial, not at all. Nothing even close to it, okay? Now then, let's get back to whether Christianity, God, and any kind of religion can help you win a Super Bowl. I'm Phil Hendry. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, it's controversial.
I'm joking. I'm joking about it. All right, what we do want to do, though, here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show is get into some of our sports topics that we so, as I mentioned to you last night and in nights past, we so desire to do on this show. Because in point of fact, as we have said, news talk is dead red, and it's all about sports. And I figure I can do sports talk just as well as the next guy. Well, maybe not the next guy.
Well, the next guy, Dan Patrick.
Oh, that reminds me. I just got back from the bathroom. I'm glad. You said some very choice things about Dan Patrick on Friday night that got retweeted by some, the radio, I don't know what it was, the radio hose bag, or I don't know what it was.
So what are you mentioning it for?
Well, I thought it was very interesting that your comments were picked up on by a radio news periodical.
A radio news periodical, huh? And what was it called?
Phil, before you get into your sarcasm...
No. What was it called? A radio news periodical. This I gotta hear. So what did they do?
They printed the truth for a change, and they said that Phil Hendry said that Dan Patrick is a lousy, rotten broadcaster.
Which I never said. Never.
Well, you didn't... You did, sort of.
No, I did not. And if I did, I did not mean to intimate... Dan Patrick is a damn good broadcaster. You nuts? Very good broadcaster. I was trying to say that Scott Farrell is a good broadcaster, and I think his kind of radio is original, and I was endorsing his show, and I should not have said, if it came across that I do not appreciate Dan Patrick on the radio, that is just flat wrong. He's outstanding. He is, in his own way, a terrific personality, and I'm sorry, you know?
Well, that's all right. I think you've got a lot more... A lot more humble pie to eat, Phil, and a lot more crow, and,
Humble pie is what?
It's humble pie.
What's it made out of?
It doesn't exist, bud. Humble pie is what you eat when you're, you know, being humble, when you've been humiliated and you're going on your knees, if you will.
Going on your knees? What are you talking about? Gotta go on my knees and eat what?
Now I know you're screwing with me.
No, you're the one that said I gotta go on my knees and eat something. In my neighborhood, that only means one thing. That's a cone and...
Never mind what it's a cone of.
You know, every time he turns around, he's looking for filth. He's looking for a new filthy angle. You know?
Well, I can't wait for you to say, Ms. Gray.
What's that?
That's helping you to say. Talk about, are you a white man?
I didn't ask you if you're a white man.
You were talking to me. Let me just control the show. Don't worry about it.
You talk about me.
I wasn't talking about you. I wouldn't waste the oxygen. Are you crazy or something?
All right, take it easy. In any event, Dan Patrick is a fine broadcaster. I don't want to stir up any more garbage than needs to be stirred up, and I'm sure that there isn't all that much being stirred up. The point that I was making, and I feel I made it the best way that I know how, was that Scott Farrell, in my opinion, is a guy that deserves a break. I think he does a good show, and I think we need original broadcasters. And,
yeah, and in other words, Dan Patrick's not an original.
I didn't say that.
Don't look at me and raise your voice that way, Phil, and say that.
Let's take a look at what's happening here in the world of sports. Okay, so we already got the Academy Awards out of the way. Thank God. If I never see that again, I will be a happy, happy man. In other news here in the world, Yahoos can no longer work from home, according to Marissa Meyer. Baby is easy, Yahoo's fun. Marissa Meyer brought free food and shiny new iPhones to Yahoo. Now she's making a change that's a lot less fun, instituting a policy that says Yahoos can no longer work from home. Marissa Meyer is the new chief over there at Yahoo.
Oh my God, I'm going to bleed from the ears.
Ow! Ow!
What's the matter?
You go Yahoo!
Blew my ears out.
Blew my... I can't hear nothing. I'm deaf, I tell you, I'm deaf.
Oh, will you grow up?
Good Lord, Henry. You know you did that to Hedy Lynn Hurdy's in 1982. I heard all about it.
What did I do?
You are an engineer. You butchered it up. You put a 1K tone into her head. Almost blew her brains out.
Hedy Lynn Hurdy's, huh? Hedy, if you're listening, I'm sorry if I did that. I don't remember. I was not a very good engineer. I was not a good session engineer. I worked as a session engineer for Westwood One for about 3 months until finally somebody said, this guy's not an engineer. Make him a producer or something.
Did you really do that? Did you feed a 1K tone at full blast into her headphones?
Not on purpose. Not on purpose. In any event, the message officially came from Human Resources head Jackie Reeses, whose memo was obtained by tech blog All Things D, because All Things D obtained this tech blog, and why did they get their greasy mitts on it? We'll never know. To become the absolute best place to work, communication and collaboration will be important, so we need to be working side by side, the memo said. That is why it's critical that we are all present in our offices. This is the next step in Meyer's campaign to turn around the ailing Yahoo. Yahoo, a Fortune 500 company. Overall, she wants the company. Let's take a look at what their stock did. After she instituted this, we're all going to be working side by side. It's going to be one big happy family. They're down 2%.
Yay!
Nice going there, Marissa. I don't know what drives stock prices. Who knows what drives? You people that are listening to me right now, you're just as educated on what drives a stock price as anybody. You could give advice to a Wall Street broker. You could. Now, yes, there's such a thing as fundamentals, and yes, there's such a thing as good, sound business practices, but in the modern marketplace, and that when I say marketplace, I mean Wall Street, in the modern Wall Street marketplace, there isn't one bit of intelligent action going on. I mean, it is all reactive, it's all emotional, it's based upon a lot of voodoo and hoodoo and who knew and you knew and all that. All right, so to become the absolute best place to work, we all have to work side by side, said Ms. Meyer, by way of Jackie Reeses Pieces, who is the resources head, Jackie Reeses of Resources. Overall, she wants the company to devote itself to personalizing the web for its users, and Meyer apparently deems working from home to be a detriment to those plans. Hey, how about that, man? That's kind of a reversal of the trend, isn't it?
Well, I think when you say to people you can no longer telecommute, that's going to put some, you know...
Yeah, it's going to put a crimp in a lot of people playing and everything.
I think that there's a lot of people that have gotten used to telecommuting. What do you think?
I think you may be right.
Well, I'm not really interested. I was actually looking past you. Robert, could you get me a...
Yeah, I'm going to get a Diet Coke.
Yes. What do you think, Robert?
You get... Don't be funny, all right? So, Meyer has said she wants Yahoo to move more quickly with teams focusing on collaboration and communication. Clearly, Meyer thinks it's hard to make those connections when working remotely. Marissa Meyer's Yahoo turnaround. The memo appears squarely aimed at employees who work remotely full-time, stating that by June, those employees will have to report to a Yahoo office. Reading between the lines, it looks like some long-distance employees will have to either relocate or resign. Aha! So there are people who are living far afield of the main downtown Yahoo mother-father computer, you know.
What is the mother-father computer?
That's the main brain.
Yeah, you got to go down and work by the brain.
Work at the brain?
Yeah.
Come on, Margaret. Get with it, Margaret. You're telling me I'm out of sync. Huh? Think like a white woman, Margaret.
How dare you, you...
You said it.
Yeah, you took us down that path from which there is no return. So nobody gets to telecommute. Nobody gets to do the do. Nobody gets to sit out there in their dead ass telecommuting from, you know, Busted Whistle, New Mexico. They're going to all have to get on a plane or on a train or on a boat.
How do you take a boat from New Mexico? See, you can't. See? Uh-oh. Yeah.
Yeah, hurt, didn't it? So they're going to have to get their asses into the office.
I understand that, Phil, and you're looking at me like it's a problem that I've got. Do I look like I telecommute?
No, you don't.
I just think it is an insensitive thing for a fellow female executive like Marissa Meyer, whose elevation to the number one position at Yahoo I wholly trumpeted and I completely supported. But I think now she is acting like Helga, the, you know, the C word, B word, I don't know.
Well, if she's acting like Helga the C-word, B-word, you know what? If a guy acted this way...
Oh, Phil, don't give me that speech about it. If a guy acts that way, that's okay. But if a woman does that, I'm just saying, as women, we cannot afford to be the C-word.
And yet every night, that's what you are.
Oh! Woo!
You gotta go, Lemon Sandler.
Gotta go to the bathroom?
Yes, I do. I do have to go to the bathroom to vomit and diarrhea. And Bud gets to mop it up. Thank you. Thank Phil, Bud.
Very, very adult of you, Margaret.
No, very adult of you.
Do I gotta go mop it up?
No, you don't, Bud. Well, I don't know.
Yes.
Very adult for you to close out with a comment like that on the air, too.
Oh, grow up.
Let's take a break. We are already late for our break. Had we gotten into our break on time, we never would have had to hear her, like a child, get back at me by saying she was gonna, you know... do what she's going to do.
Vomit and have diarrhea.
Thank you. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Woo! Show. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we are talking about a very interesting change of policy at Yahoo by the new head of Yahoo, and that is Marissa Meyer. And what Ms. Meyer has essentially done is she's eliminated from at least the corporate, at least from the work environment at Yahoo, telecommuting. Excuse me, folks.
Would you stop that, please?
I'm sorry, Margaret, but I'm having to...
Yeah, you got to adjust.
Well, are you doing it in front of a lady? Is that it?
Margaret, first of all, I'm doing it under the... I've got my hand... Why are you sticking your nose under there?
Because I saw you squirming around, and I wanted to see what...
Yeah, you what? What do you want to see?
Remember this. I carry, and I shouldn't admit this, I carry a switchblade knife.
Not in this studio, you don't.
Well, what am I supposed to do?
Not in this studio, you don't. You got a knife in that purse?
Yes.
Get rid of it.
What an ass. Boy, that's too bad.
Yeah. Get rid of the knife. A switchblade knife, huh?
I need something for those two.
So anyway, Ms. Meyer, who just recently had a baby and was back on the job within 2 weeks, that is impressive. It's very impressive, except for one thing. The baby starved to death. Now then.
You kidding?
Yes, I'm kidding. All right, to talk a little bit more about this with us is Don Mixa. He's a professor of engineering at the University of Washington in Seattle. Don joins us on our newsmaker line here tonight to talk a little bit about this policy at Yahoo and what it means for not just the work environment at Yahoo, for work environments, for workplaces, workstations, for the office worker and more. Across America. Don, how are you?
Real good, Phil. Thanks for having me on.
And what do you think? Is this a move by Yahoo that is going to find permanence in other companies as well?
I, I think it is a move for the future. I believe that the time has come that we start to recognize that working at home and by ourselves gives us a false sense of entitlement. I think that people who work at home have often described themselves as self-employed, and of course you know as well as I do that that's not always the case. When you're working at home, you could very well be working for somebody else. And I think when you work at home, you get the idea or the feeling or the sense that you are self-employed and you're not.
So if somebody has the idea that they're self-employed, are they forgetting that they work for a company?
No, I don't think they're forgetting they work for a company, but I think they are looking at themselves more as perhaps an independent contractor as opposed to a full employee, you know, where they're getting a paycheck and getting their payroll taxes taken out and so on and so forth. But I think when you are working at home, it's easy to fool yourself into thinking that you're some kind of self-employed independent contractor. You know, you're making your own hours and this and that. And people do tend to lie about those things in social settings and elsewhere. And I think that what Ms. Meyer has done is she has injected back into the American workplace. More importantly, she's injected back into the mindset of people who work at home, the reality that you're nothing all that special and that you do have a job. But it is a job you have to report to a boss. You have a boss. You have someone over you. You are not self-employed, so forget that and start acting like someone that has to report to someone else. And I think once you realize that and once you get next to that reality, and I think one time we heard in your program, as a matter of fact, Phil, I think it was Vernon Dozier who said, you know, you got to get your nose right up in it. Well, he was right. You know, you do have to get your nose right up in it.
Talking here with Don Mixa, who's a professor of engineering at University of Washington, Seattle. You got to get your nose right up in it. And we're talking about Marissa Meyer, who is the new chief at Yahoo, who's eliminated telecommuting. There's going to be no more people working at home. People are going to have to come into the office and work from there. There are employees who have long-distance relationships with Yahoo. They're either going to have to relocate or possibly resign. Do you think that's the message as well?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. The further away from Yahoo you work, if you're a Yahoo employee and you are living, let's say, you know, literally a state over, shall I say, or, you know, living in some other locale, you have successfully deluded yourself into thinking that you are a self-employed, independent kind of a person. I think those are the people that we have to take stock of. I think we have to collect them, find out how many of them we've got out there, and how many of them are out there, even though they work directly for a company, in this case it would be Yahoo, and how many of them, even though they're working directly for a company, how many of them are in their off hours, for instance, telling people, oh, I'm an independent contractor, or at parties, oh, I'm self-employed, and they're lying. They're lying to themselves, they're lying to people at parties, they're lying to their wives, their children, their husbands. And the lies have to end, and these people need to be reminded of the fact that they are, like a lot of people, they work for a boss man, if you want to call it that. They work for the man, if you want to call it that. There is someone who can point their finger to the door, and that's the end of your world as you know it. There is someone who can say, we need to free up your salary, and that's the end of your world as you know it. So don't think that you are some kind of independent contractor.
You know, there's a sort of a spitefulness to the way you're talking.
Yes, I noticed that. Are you saying, Don, that you concur with this?
Well, I have to concur with it. I work for instance, the University of Washington. I don't get to telecommute. Nobody is telling me I get to go a state over. I get to go down to California, for instance, and teach my classes that way. No one is saying I get to write for the student newspaper that way. No one is saying I can chair the student-teacher council that way. No one is saying I can chair the New Students for the Radical Left chairmanship that way. I have to come in here, and I've got to look at the head of our department every day, and I've got to listen to him tell me what to do and how to live. I don't like it, but I got to do it. And if I got to do that, if I have to come in here and look at someone telling me how to live, someone who is, you know, would like nothing more than for me to marry his daughter, which I will never do, and I've told him that, and that has certainly put a crimp in my career plans, but that's the way it's going to be. If I've got to come in and look at him, as he tells me what to do, then by God, if there's a God in heaven, and if Jesus hung from the cross, there's a few thousand, if not millions more out there that are sitting at their homes pretending like they are telecommuters.
All right, Don, we'll take a look at this and see how it develops, huh?
I hope you do, because I'm sick of the story. I'm sick of the reality of my life.
All right, Don Mixa. Thank you, Don. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
God, how I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it so much. The horror. The horror.
Phil Hendry.
The horror.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. We are, as I said, experiencing some technical difficulties with our video stream tonight. I apologize to each and every one of you for that. We'll get this thing cranking, whether it, if it kills somebody, probably me, but we'll get it cranking for you sooner rather than later. All right. So I think we have, thank you very much to Don Mixa for weighing in for us. So his essential point there was that...
Well, his essential point is that if he has to sit there and work for the man, then everyone has to.
Yeah, well, I think I would resist the temptation, Don, where if you're still listening, to essentially say to everybody who is a telecommuter, you know, you think your stuff doesn't smell, and hey, you're going to have to telecommute like the rest of us, because I'm not exactly sure that that's exactly, you know, how that works. 877-876-7445, here the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. There's also a couple of other stories here having to do with Fidel Castro. But let's take a look at Donica Patrick. You know, the Indy 500 was, or excuse me, the Daytona 500 was won by Jimmy Johnson.
Who's he?
Who's he? Jimmy Johnson is a famous, he's a NASCAR driver, man. What do you mean, who's he?
No, I've never heard of him.
Yeah, I've never heard of him either.
Well, I've never heard of him, Phil.
That's because you guys don't follow NASCAR. That's why you've never heard of him. He's a very well-known NASCAR driver. As a matter of fact, Mark Martin, I think, came in third. Mark's one of the old men of the NASCAR circuit. And, by the way, a hip-hop fan, from what I gather.
What do you mean, hip-hop?
I don't know, but I know he listens. Who was in his... 50 Cent was in his pit.
Who?
50 Cent. 50 Cent. I'm saying 50 Cent. I'm trying to be as colloquial as I possibly can.
Phil, the proper pronunciation is the French. You can never go wrong with the French. Which is?
That's 50 Cent?
No, that's 50 Cent in French. Here it is.
You don't speak French.
Oh, baby.
You got Mr. Henry, just go with it.
You
got
to go with it, Phil. You don't speak French. How many people out there know that I don't speak French? Zero. How many people bought that when I said what I said meant 50 Cent in French? How many people now don't buy it because you said, you don't speak French?
I didn't say it that way, but you don't speak French.
Very dumb, Miss Gray. It's very deceptive.
No, it's not deceptive. We're not talking about the Watergate burglary here. We're not talking about the Clinton Whitewater problem. We're not talking about George Bush and the National Guard. And we're not talking about Birthergate. We're simply talking about me fooling a few dumb asses into
thinking you speak French.
Yes. So, 50 Cent in French is what?
Je te contolite comme on t'en contolite pas.
Perfect. No one's any the wiser.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go over here to, oh, look at this. Now, David G. Hall is back on the line. I can't, you know, for love or money. David, what can we do for you now?
Oh, well, thank you very much for that, Phil. It's great to feel welcomed on your radio show.
No, what do you want?
What do I want? Are you loving this guy? What do I want? Here's what I want. When Ms. Gray says that she speaks French and is able to pull it off in a fairly credible way, the best thing to do is to back her up. She's backing you up.
What do you mean, back her up?
I mean, when she says the French talk, What do you call it, Margaret?
It's French talk. It's an approximation of French. If you do it well enough, most French know what you're talking about.
In other words, if I sit here and I go, you don't go to the deal like that.
Well, no, you got to do it better than that. You can't sound like you know somebody's got you by the throat. You can't sound like you're being gagged with, well, you know what. You got to sound.
No, I don't know what. And
you got to sound authentic, Margaret. Go ahead.
Phil, what I'm saying at 50 cent in French is you don't go to the contribute. Most Americans don't. Well, see, now I'm on the air telling everyone.
Yeah, see, she's giving it away.
Oh, I see. So she wasn't on the air telling everyone. Everybody'd be out there thinking, wow, Margaret speaks French, and what she's saying is 50 cent in French.
Yes. In a word, yes. So if you, go ahead, Margaret, I don't know, I don't do it very well.
Phil, just try it. What is 50 cent in French, Phil?
Yeah, je te compte, je compte, je compte, je compte.
Oh, that blows. You can't do it too good.
No, you've got to do it in a convincing way.
Got to do it like you speak French.
What are you guys trying to tell me, anyway?
Well, would you just resist the temptation to be indignant and to be the lone, you know, to be another version of the lone man against the world? Would you just do that for me and just speak some French? It's not French. What you're doing is you're doing France talk. So do it.
Yeah, it's France talk, Phil. It's not French.
France talk.
Yes, France. Oh, this guy, David, he's a hard case.
Boy, I'll tell you, when I hired you, Phil, and...
One thing. You never hired me. You didn't hire me. I entered into a contractual agreement with your ass.
All right. You entered into a contractual agreement with my ass. Great. Your ass, I hope my ass and you were very happy.
Yeah. Make you happy, too.
Don't get cute. Just do some France talk, okay? Because what we're trying to do is add some credibility to your show.
France talk. Je te bon gant, de l'huile dans ton pays.
Oh, he stinks. Margaret.
Phil, would you please try to pull it off, okay? And I don't mean, you know, the juvenile thing that I just saw Bud do, pulling on his, you know, imaginary, you know what.
Not imaginary.
I mean, you were doing an imaginary.
Okay, we understand.
Je te le bon tofond, je te bon.
That ain't bad.
That's not half bad. All right, what is 50 cent in French, Mr. Hendry?
Le compte de bûche de bâton.
You sound like you're a head waiter in one of those frog cream places. Look, Phil, I don't like France any more than you do, but I do travel there, and I pretend like I enjoy it when I'm around all of the people there, and I go down to the different things, you know, the big pointed thing. I don't know.
The big pointed thing?
The Eiffel Tower, is that what it's called?
Yes.
Well, there's a reason why they call it the Eiffel Tower. It's an Eiffel. And that's what I want you to do.
No, the reason why they call it the Eiffel Tower is that's the guy that designed it.
No, they don't. It's...
So why are you contradicting people?
Because I know what I'm talking about, okay?
I don't care. It's an Eiffel. Now go ahead. Do some French talk.
Je le compte de compte de bûche.
Oh, you speak French. What is 50 cent in French?
Le compte de bûche de bûche.
David, he's just not getting it done. At the very end, it sounds as if he's got a lazy eye and he walks with his wrist against his chest, you know?
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, like he's got some kind of dystrophy.
Yes.
Get out of here, will you? Okay, David, thank you.
Wait a minute, Phil.
Well, what are you going... What are you, all upset?
Margaret, I don't think that just because you sound like you speak French, you speak French. In other words, you can't go, you do go do, and a French guy's going to understand that, huh?
Yes, he is. Here's what you do. You remember that dumb cop you ran into there in Paris? You were talking about that big dumb cop with the funny looking hat?
I never said he was a big dumb cop.
Well, you intimated as much.
No, I did not intimate as much. I said he was a police officer that didn't... He spoke English.
Look at how you're hesitating. He. You're nervous about talking about this big, dumb cop. And I'm saying to you...
Hold on for a minute. He was a cop who was speaking French. And I said, where's this and where's that? I forget what I was asking.
Where were you going?
Probably back to the hotel. I think I was asking, which way to this hotel? And he looked at me with the knowing look of a cop that has answered a million questions in English. And he gave the answer to me in French. Okay.
Yes, even though he spoke English.
Because he did speak English, because I had made an attempt at speaking French. I said, "Oué," you know, which is where is this or that, okay?
Where? What are you talking about, where is oué?
Oué, that's where is.
That's a guy that kicks for the Miami Dolphins.
That's Uwe von Schaumann. Are you some kind of an experiment in dumb? Are you... I swear to God, bud, you live at the bottom of a Petri dish, and that's where you'll always be in my book.
Can you put this kid down any more than you have?
Doesn't matter, Mr. Henry. Sticks and stones are going to hurt, or going to make me, are going to give me a bone. Well, no.
Did you hear that?
All right, hold on.
Sticks and stones are going to give you a bone.
All right, hold on. 50 Cent in French is le coton, c'est du malheur.
Beautiful. I love it. I'm in love with it. Boy, I've got one leg draped over that. That's how much I love it. All right, now, you're in the pits at the Daytona 500. 50 Cent walks over. You're from France. You're an investor. You love 50 Cent. You turn to him and you say, in French, I regret that I cannot have you over to dinner because we're very old-fashioned in France. And most black people there are Africans, and we still have a great fear of you people. However,
what is it, man? I'm giving a speech here, and it's all a big bunch of racist crap?
No, you're talking as if you're...
You're talking like you're a frog.
You're talking like a frog, yes. I'm sorry I can't have you over to dinner, because as a Frenchman, I'm not as evolved as Americans, and so therefore... Most black people are from Africa. Think of something, you know.
Yeah, let's think of something.
Whoa, what the hell are you saying?
All right, Margaret, I'm all done with this.
Phil.
I'm all done with this stupid, asinine thing called France talk. Hi, I'd like you to come over for dinner, but we don't have black people because I'm from France. Yes, David?
Why did you give up? You were doing so good. You did that way people are going to think we do a French show, and that way it'll be credited as bilingual, and that way...
Yeah, and that way, he went that way. We'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry show. And again, our apologies on our video stream. We are attempting to restart, to reconnect, to reconvene, and to set fire to it, burn it down, and start all over again. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show, as we continue. We're just doing a little... we have a technical malfeasance or malfunction, or there's something wrong here. There it is. It's just not working. How's it doing on your end, Dan? Suck? So we have a little bit of a technical problem here. Now, getting back to what we were discussing here, and this is Donica. Donica Patrick, who is the female NASCAR driver that captured the imagination of so many people, most particularly and most touchingly, at least in my book, of the young daughters of the other drivers who brought their daughters to the track to meet her. This is truly a new NASCAR, I got to tell you. And I don't mean that NASCAR is any or was any more, shall we say, regressive or any more Neanderthal than any other sport. I'm not saying that at all. You know, but NASCAR had its issues, just like NFL, just like the Major League Baseball, just like all major sports, golf. NASCAR had its issues. But to see a sport like NASCAR, so highly identified with the sort of a traditional South, which for some people means a level of intolerance. To see this modern NASCAR embracing this young woman and the other drivers, the men that she's competing against, bringing their daughters out, their little girls out to meet her as a role models is something else. And in this article written here by Lee Spencer for Fox Sports, she simply starts out, "Thank you, Donica, for living up to the hype." After stealing the spotlight from the boys in the Sprint Cup garage for most of the speed week, when the checkered flag flew on the Daytona 500, Donica Patrick's overall performance and eventual eighth-place finish over the 10-day stretch was respectable and historical. She's going to make a lot of history all year long, said Dale Earnhardt Jr., her former Nationwide Series team owner and a fellow competitor. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch her progress. I think she's done her best work in the Cup car myself. I think for whatever reason, she seems to get a lot more out of that car. That's the Cup car as opposed to the Nationwide Series, which is a another series. And I think it's like one rung below the Sprint Cup, which is the championship of NASCAR. Every time I've seen her in a pretty hectic situation, she's always really remained calm. She's got a great level head. She's a racer. She knows what's coming. She's smart about her decisions. She knew what to do today as far as track position and not taking risks. I enjoyed racing with her. So she's getting some pretty...
Well, that's Dale. That's the one that... well, he's not dead. What am I thinking?
No, his dad died.
That's Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Well, who is the one that, and tragically, who's the one that passed on?
Dale Earnhardt.
And who is he?
Dale Earnhardt Jr.
All right, Phil, you don't have to look at me like I've committed a war crime.
God, how many times going to say it? Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Well, I don't follow the sport of racing.
Well, okay, Margaret, but you're a news person, and you're a journalist. You ought to be following this young woman's story, this Donica Patrick. Have you heard of her?
I've heard of her, yes. And I am following racing now. And I can tell you this much. Because I have begun following racing because of this young lady, I have a great knowledge. And I'd like to point out I almost belched, and I didn't. Because you make a big issue out of it. But I've got terrible burning gas. And I kept it inside, Phil, so you wouldn't make a huge issue out of it, live on the air in front of everyone, and embarrassed the hell. Excuse me.
Well, there's one for the books.
No, don't start talking about me when I'm not there.
No, that's one for the books. So you wouldn't start talking about it and embarrass me, and she just started talking about it and embarrassed herself, and now she is in the bathroom.
Are you belching?
Yes, I'm getting rid of the belches so it doesn't... There, I'm better. But the burning from the acid alone, Phil, well...
I can well imagine. That's,
You don't have to condescend. I know that you don't care.
Yes, I do care. I'm sorry. Maybe we should keep some Tums?
Do you mind if we not publicize this?
Well, Margaret, you started the whole... You said, I'd like to point out I stifled a belch.
Because I wanted to point out to your audience... Okay...
I'm just saying...
Oh, excuse me, I'm not done. I wanted to point out to your audience that... All right?
Yeah?
I forget.
You want to point out the audience of the burning... Yeah, and the burn, how it burned.
Yes, I wanted to point out to the audience how much it burned. Listen to the little girl laugh.
Okay. So that was Dale Earnhardt Jr. Certainly the TMZ-style buzz of her budding romance with fellow NASCAR Sprint Cup rookie Ricky Stenhouse Jr. overshadowed her professional accomplishments at times. I didn't know that.
I didn't either. That sounds pretty juicy. Who is it?
Ricky Stenhouse Jr.
And what does he do?
He's a driver.
A driver of what, Phil?
He's a race car driver driving a NASCAR circuit.
Well, that's what I'm trying to find out.
Yes, he's a race car driver.
And what did he do?
He's going out with this girl, Donica Patrick. Are you listening?
I didn't ask if he was going out with her. I wanted to know what he did. All right, never mind.
So on Sunday, when Patrick addressed the media after finishing at the top as the top rookie in the Daytona 500, an accomplishment she earned in her 2005 Indianapolis 500 debut, before going on to win the IndyCar rookie title as well, it was clear she had been accepted into the club. It was just another car on the track, Daytona 500 winner and five-time champion Jimmy Johnson said of Patrick's effort. I didn't think about it being Donica in the car. It was just another car on the track that was fast. And, of course, I did all I could to make sure that she didn't win, even if it meant running her right off the high end of the track, up about 75 feet in the air, flipping, crashing, and burning. I'm only kidding, said Johnson.
Hey.
Now, moving along.
Let me see that. Why, you lying?
I know he didn't say that. I was joking around.
You don't think a joke about Mr. Henry.
Take it easy, okay? Last year, when Patrick won the pole for the Nationwide Series, if you'll pardon the expression, won the pole.
See, right there, that's sexism.
Yeah, Mr. Henry.
All right, I'm sorry. So last year when Patrick won the pole for the Nationwide Series race at Daytona, she showed her proficiency at the 2.5 mile track. Throughout testing and practice, what are you looking at?
Well, I want to know what you read. The 2.5, it sounded like you had...
Did you go spastic?
You didn't go spastic, did you?
Last year, when Patrick won the pole for the Nationwide Series race at Daytona, she showed her proficiency at the 2.5-mile track.
You almost went spaz.
Throughout testing and practice, it was clear that she had quickly acclimated to restrictor plate-style racing. So when she won the pole for the Daytona 500 with a speed of 100... you know what? I can't read this anymore. I'm sorry, folks, but you get the idea. We are going to take a break. We may come back because I have been battling a number of things here, folks, not the least of which is this technical problem we're having. But also I have been battling about 3 days' worth of a... 3 days' worth of just an overload, you know, on work and everything else. So we may just take some time here in the next hour to get everything sort of squared away and fixed. We'll see. World-famous Phil Henry Show, I love all of you. We are working to endeavor to restore to you your citizenship and your worthiness in the human family, and myself as well. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, I know that didn't make any sense, but I think it sounded
regal.
Yes, it did.
Phil Henry.